Wisdom, the final frontier to true knowledge. Welcome to Wisdom Trek, where our mission is to create a legacy of wisdom, to seek out discernment and insights, to boldly grow where few have chosen to grow before. Hello, my friend. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, your captain on our journey to increase wisdom and create a living legacy. Thank you for joining us today as we explore wisdom on our second millennium of podcast. This is day 1361 of our trek, and it is Worldview Wednesday. Creating a biblical worldview is essential in order to have a proper perspective on today's current events. To establish a biblical worldview, you must have a proper understanding of God and His Word. Our focus for these next several months on Worldview Wednesday is mastering the Bible through a series of brief insights. These insights are extracted from a book by the same title from one of today's most prominent Hebrew scholars, Dr. Michael S. Heiser. This book is a collection of insights designed to help you to understand the Bible better. When we let the Bible be what it is, we can understand it as the original readers did and as the original writers intended. Each week we will explore two additional insights, and this week we will finish up the Old Testament and begin with the New Testament. So today, overall, we're going to look at mastering the Bible, wisdom literature, and the Messiah. Insight number 53. The focus of wisdom literature is character, and the most praiseworthy character comes from the fear of the Lord. Most Bible readers who have spent time in the biblical wisdom material, such as Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon, will not be surprised by this topic statement. So much of what one encounters in these books is oriented toward personal life skills across a wide spectrum of area and expertise. I think it's worth mentioning, though, since we tend to think of wisdom literature like we do the advice column Dear Abby, it is much more than that. One of the things that distinguishes biblical wisdom literature from simple advice is inspiration. God is behind what we are reading, and God knows what leads to happiness or regret, failure or success, life or death. Wisdom literature shows us by word and example how to cope with suffering, character flaws, and tragedy. Instead of providing situational suggestions, it tells us the truth about what is virtuous and what is not. It does not try to make us feel good about ourselves. It lays out a path of the wise and the path of the fool, and doesn't flinch on making sure we know which category that we're in. Since wisdom is a lifelong pursuit, wisdom literature often finds its context at home. Parents must guide their children. Children must obey their parents. The marriage bond must be protected from adultery. The family unit is tasked with passing on the principles of morality, virtue, and justice. Children are the beneficiaries, or not, of the accumulated wisdom insights learned from parents. Since the home produces adults with, or without, sound character, it is the foundation of society, industry, relationship, commerce, and leadership. It is a fallacy to assume that the culture of a nation will be virtuous without personal virtue. It is not an exaggeration to say that human stability does depend on wisdom. Foundational to the home are its leaders' relationship with God. A constant focus on wisdom literature is reverence for God, His laws, and His design. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 famously begins with, "Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." The same is echoed in Psalms chapter 34, verses 11 and 12. "Come, my children, and listen to me. I will teach you to fear the Lord. Does anyone want to live life that is long and prosperous?" And Job chapter 28, verse 28 reminds us, and this is what he says about all humanity, "The fear of the Lord is true wisdom. To forsake evil is real understanding." And then finally, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, ends with these words, "That is the whole story. Here is now my final conclusion. Fear God and obey His commands, for this is everyone's duty." Wisdom literature gives us a lot to think about. Its orientation is crystal clear. The path to virtue is never personal gratification and focus on self. A happy, rewarding life is only possible when people have sound character, and the core to motivation in that pursuit is the fear of God. Let's now move on to insight number 54, and it is the words Messiah and Christ mean the same thing. Christians affirm that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah foretold by Israel's prophets in the Old Testament. Some Bible students might find it quite startling, then, that the word Messiah only occurs two times in the New Testament, in John chapter 1, verse 41, and John chapter 4, verse 25. The mystery disappears, though, when we read John chapter 1, verse 41, where Andrew says to his brother Peter, "Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which means Christ." John chapter 4, verse 25, makes the same equation. But was this just John's opinion? The answer is no. The Hebrew translated Messiah is Mashiach, and it is related to the verb Meshach, which means to anoint. Hebrew Mashiach, therefore, means anointed or anointed one. It is used in the Old Testament to refer to priests, to kings, and in context to a specially anointed deliverer. The New Testament was written in Greek, not Hebrew, and the Greek word translated Christ is Christos. It is derived from the verb kurio, which means to anoint or smear. Consequently, Greek Christos, Christ, means anointed one, just like the Hebrew Mashiach. The above explains why the New Testament writers combined the word Christos with Jesus to produce Jesus Christ nearly 140 times, such as in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The reverse order of names, Christ Jesus, is found almost 90 times, such as in Romans chapter 1, verse 1. The reason for the ordering may be cultural. To the Gentile, Jesus Christ would have created the impression that Christ was the last name of Jesus. The word Christos sounds like Christos, a fairly common name in the Gentile world. By switching Jesus Christ to Christ Jesus, Christos essentially becomes a title, Messiah Jesus, which would have helped the Gentile audience see the significance of the term. Interestingly, Christ Jesus is found in none of the Gospels, nor is it found in any of the writings of John. The earliest occurrence is in Acts chapter 24, verse 24, which was written by Luke, a Gentile. All the other occurrences come from the hand of Paul in his letters to the Gentile churches. In either case, the theological messaging was the same. The man, Jesus of Nazareth, is presented as God's prophesied anointed one, Matthew chapter 2, verse 4, who would heal the nations and save humankind from sin. And that will conclude this week's lesson on another two insights from Dr. Heiser's book, Mastering the Bible. Next Worldview Wednesday, we will continue with two additional insights. I believe that you'll find each of these Worldview Wednesdays an interesting topic to consider as we build our biblical worldview. Tomorrow we will continue with the 3-minute humor nugget that will provide you with a bit of cheer, which will help you to lighten up and live a rich and satisfying life. So encourage your friends and family to join us and then come along with us tomorrow for another day of Wisdom Trek, Creating a Legacy. If you'd like to listen to any of the past 1,360 treks or read the Wisdom Journals, they are all available at wisdom-trek.com. And I encourage you to subscribe to Wisdom Trek on your favorite podcast player so that each day will be downloaded to you automatically. And thank you so much for allowing me to be your guide, your mentor. But most importantly, I am your friend as I serve you through the Wisdom Trek podcast and journal each day. And as we take this trek of life together, let us always live abundantly, love unconditionally, listen intentionally, learn continuously, lend to others generously, lead with integrity, and then leave a living legacy each day. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, reminding you to keep moving forward, enjoy your journey, and create a great day every day. See you tomorrow.